Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Back to Square One, where we release new episodes every Wednesday at noon. Hit that subscribe button and that like button. Leave us a comment down below. We're your hosts. I'm Carmen.
My name is Derek.
Sorry, the way I said it sounded so, you know when you're at games and they're just like introducing the players?
Yeah. Contestant number one on our left, we have...
Ladies and gentlemen.
My name is Carmen. I will be your host for tonight's evening. We hope you...
Stupid. Alrighty, so... okay, so Eden's...
Let's get right into it.
There's really no point of introducing our topics because this could go anywhere. But yeah, in the last little bit,
Let's just say it.
Because we talk about
We talk about this. At a later episode, and this is a filler episode.
We kind of rearranged the order a little bit.
So this is episode 14, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We had an original episode 14. It was not as...
It got deleted.
Yeah, it didn't pass the vibe check.
Yeah.
So we're re-recording 14, and what Carmen is hesitating on is that the stuff that she's about to share right now, we talk about in episode 16.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're listening in order, it might seem like once episode 16 comes out, you're going to be like, how long is this bachelor party?
Still going on.
It's been a month.
Yo, they're just wilding up there.
Yeah. But no, last week, Eden went to one of his really close friends' bachelor party. And it's like a bunch of like 10... 30 plus year old guys, like 33 year old guys, and they went to LA and then drove down to Vegas. So it was like an 8-day bachelor trip. And you know, like, I'm sure, I mean, maybe you can attest to this, but guys do what they do on Bachelor.
Guys do what we do regardless. As soon as we're not in the same zip code as our significant others, shit goes down.
But of course, what happens on bachelor parties, you know, stay at bachelor party. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But
what happens in LA makes it to the podcast.
Exactly. But no, I was just, I don't know whether it's because this time I'm pregnant. You know, because Eden and I have done things on our own. You know, we've traveled on our own with other friends. We go out all the time without each other. And, like, I've never really been the jealous type with him. But I've always been a jealous person.
Well, mainly in the one of your relationships, no? Or
yeah. No, actually, all of my relationships. I've always been very jealous. Yeah. I've always just been a very... insecure.
Yeah, is it out of insecurity or is it out of like you just feel like you're not getting as much time with them?
I think it's insecurity, but along with just like when I was young, I did some stupid stuff that, you know, like for example, like talking to two people at once, things like that, right? And so
she was in many group chats.
Yeah. So when you kind of know what people are capable of, I think it kind of makes you a little bit less willing to trust because you know how easy it is to get away with things.
Yep.
Right. So then you start like spiraling and thinking like, what is the other person hiding that I don't know? Mm-hmm. Right. It's toxic. And you know, the relationship that I'm in now, I always just felt like Eden always gave me that sense of security. Like he's never really put me in positions where my jealousy has come out, but specifically on this bachelor trip, not that anything like crazy happened, but for some reason, like, I don't know whether it was hormonal or, you know, it's like I wasn't out distracting myself, you know, because I can't drink right now. I don't know what it was, but... I was just like very, like I wanted to know what they were doing at all times, you know. They, you know, for example, like Eden's own bachelor party, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure they went to a strip club. I never cared, you know, whether he got a lap dance or not. I just assume he does, right? Or did. And like that didn't matter to me at the time. But this time around, now that I'm pregnant, I was like so worked up about it. I don't know what it was.
I mean, I'm sure the pregnancy plays a large factor in it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was telling you about the stories and you were saying how it could be like your motherly instinct coming out. Like I think it's no longer like, I'm trying to explain it the best I could, but it's no longer like I'm just protecting me. Now it's like, oh, I'm protecting my family kind of thing. And if he does anything to jeopardize that, I'm like even more angry. But it just kind of brought out the worst in me.
I don't think I said that.
I think you did.
I didn't say your motherly instinct.
You didn't? I thought you said it was biological.
Biological, not motherly.
That's, what's biological? That's not
biologically,
motherly.
I meant because you're pregnant right now.
Is that not motherly?
But no, it has nothing to do with the family structure.
Oh, okay. Then I totally misunderstood you.
Yeah.
Because I actually understood it that way and I was like, oh, that makes sense.
No, I think what I was trying to say is like, not motherly, definitely not motherly.
Just like like your primitive caveman like tendencies?
Well, first, you're definitely hormonal.
Yes.
You're pregnant.
Yes.
What often happens is, from what I understand and what I feel, is that, you know, women, you're obviously in a different shape now. Mm-hmm. So you become a bit more insecure. Right, you worry about certain things. You worry that, oh, my husband will find eyes on a younger, newer, right,
model girl.
Yeah, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the worry. That's the biological worry.
Right. Yeah, I think that is a little bit part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there were just also some things on this trip. And again, I'm not going to name specifics, but like some things on this trip that I was kind of like, oh, like, you know, you're married, you have a kid on the way. Like, do you really have to do those things?
Right.
Whereas like normally I would not be as judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'm pretty chill about certain things. Like, I mean, about Eden going out to try new things. I actually encourage it. But for some reason this time, it was just, I couldn't control my emotions. Like it's definitely hormonal. I would like literally cry.
Mm.
Like I was home alone, you know, I couldn't sleep. Like I couldn't control my emotions. But that's just kind of what gave us the idea for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we always say like, oh, that relationship's so toxic, or your partner's so toxic, or you hear a lot nowadays about like gaslighting, you know, toxic traits. And we wanted to kind of like do this episode to kind of go over some toxic traits to, you know, just kind of see if we have any of them or if you know any specific examples of them.
I mean, we definitely have. We For definitely sure. have. But I think it's a good thing to talk about, and it's a good thing that, where when you do talk about it, it matures you and shows you different things. And it's a fun time to talk about your toxic traits.
Yeah. And like, I just honestly Googled like toxic traits and like,
that was the first article that came up.
It is literally like the second article that came up. So we're just going to jump right in. But just to preface it too, I think it says somewhere in this article that even if you have toxic traits, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a bad person.
Oh, I think those are completely separate things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of people with good intentions mm-hmm. who end up doing toxic things.
Exactly. And they say something like toxic traits is more like a definition of behavior versus like an actual personality trait.
Mm.
So it's like how you respond to certain events or mm-hmm, certain mm-hmm. emotions, things like that. So, yeah, don't, I mean, we're going to take this like really lightly, but don't be so hard on yourself.
if you are a toxic motherfucker.
You have like 24 out of 25 of these.
You're a toxic motherfucker.
Okay, we're just going to jump right in. I don't know. Honestly, this is like some random article that we pulled up, but it is written by someone with a PhD. So I'm going to assume it's pretty legit. Okay, so first one is negativity. So a person with negativity may see the world as cold, cruel, and evil. They frequently complain, ruin the fun, or dampen people's spirits with defeatist comments and actions.
Mm.
We should say if the other person has it.
I was going to say I might have a little bit of that.
I don't think you do.
I feel like I have a little bit of both. I feel like I'm a very optimistic person. But there are days when I look outside the window and I'm like, yo, humanity's going to shit. This world is going to shit. What's the point?
Really?
Yeah. But I mean that in like a... Yeah, I'm like half and half.
That's true. You did say you usually see the glass half full, right? Glass half empty?
I'm finding more and more empty. I see the glass half empty.
Yeah, glass half empty.
Yeah.
But I don't think you are like...
I'm definitely not like a Debbie Downer.
No,
like
no way. You don't complain very often.
Yeah.
I'm not either.
No, I wouldn't say you have that. Have you had experience with people like that?
Yes, and I don't want to name specifically.
Right.
But I think we both know Debbie Downers.
Yeah. That's tough. You just got to avoid those people.
Yeah. It's...
I don't know if that's toxic or not, to avoid toxic people, but you just got to say...
Yeah, because like, why do you want someone in your life that like...
Brings it down.
Brings you down. Like, yeah, like brings negativity into your life. Like, I don't want that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We both don't have this one. Okay, this one. Judgmentalness. So a person who's judgmental may judge situations, people, or events without experience.
Uh-huh.
And for example, a friend may tell you that a concert will be boring or lame before you even arrive.
Right. I would say I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was a very judgy person. But as I've gotten older and more experienced, I've become a lot less judgmental, hopefully.
I think we're all like... a little judgmental.
I think when we're young, I know me especially, I was very like righteous.
Yeah.
Very like, these are the principles. You know, this is right. This is wrong. You should have known the difference.
You should know better.
Yeah, you should know better. You crossed the line. How could you do that? But then when you grow up, you realize things are not absolute. There are so many things that are in this gray area and humans can't always make the best decisions. You know, we're like emotional beings and we act on certain things, or we're just irrational creatures, and you can't expect someone to always operate out of principle and logic and, you know, just rational decisions.
Yeah. No, you were very judgmental younger, for sure.
I have,
hence why we didn't talk for like 2 years, remember?
Yeah, I was judging your ass, bro.
But honestly, it is, I think everyone is a little bit judgmental. Like, I mean, like, me and you always talk about certain people and whether they're, like, dating the right people.
Right.
Is that judgmental?
I think judgmental is different from assessing the situation. Come on, that's so different.
Okay. Tell me what's the difference.
Okay, being judgmental is almost like...
You're judging for the sake of judging?
You're judging and then you're acting on it.
Oh, okay.
Versus assessing is, these are my thoughts, right? But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to let it play out and I'm not going to get in the way of you living your life.
Right.
Judgmental is like, I'm putting my foot down. You can't even, you know, I can't be friends with you, or I don't want to be seen with you.
Yeah, you did this. You're dead to me now.
Yeah, exactly. It's right, very right. Like you're putting your own insertion in there.
Yeah. It even says like a person who is judgmental without experience. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like I hear about you going through something that I've never been through in my life. And I see the way that you react to that event. And I'm like, why would Derek do that?
Yeah. And you're like, fuck him.
Yeah. Fuck him. Like yeah. that. He's stupid for doing that. But it's like, I've never been in your situation. How would I know how I'm going to react kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We're both not judgmental.
Do you have any funny stories or about that?
Do you?
I don't know if I'm allowed.
What?
If I'm allowed to say.
No.
But I've made some people feel very bad and.
Oh, yours specifically?
Yeah, my story.
Oh, when you were younger.
Yeah, when I was younger, I've made some people feel very bad and they've came to my house to apologize. And
you could take your chance to apologize right now to them.
I thought I have.
Have you?
Does she listen?
I don't know. I can tell her to. I'm kidding. Don't say. I know who you're talking about now.
If you are listening, if you many years ago came to my doorstep at my house and apologized because I was being judgy of your decision making, I apologize.
That's crazy that she did that though.
Yeah.
I applaud her for that.
But I also felt like,
okay, just as a side story, okay, for those who are wondering, can we tell like,
sure,
why you're mad?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, without going into specifics, sure.
Okay, so basically this girl was, I guess, talking to multiple guys in our friend circle.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek was not one of them.
Oh, no, yeah.
But he took it upon himself to crucify this girl, right?
In a sense. That sounds very bad, but yes. I took it upon myself to say, put my foot down and say, hey, this is not cool.
I don't fuck with you.
You're not cool.
You said that to her face?
I forgot how it all came out, but it basically
along those lines.
I put the you know, I put the carrier pigeon out. I put the message out to the streets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like
not cool.
People knew that.
Not cool.
Derek didn't fuck with her kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, there was relationships involved and, you know, it just made things bad in the friend group and, you know, that's not the vibe.
Yeah, and this girl obviously felt really bad and like one day showed up on Derek's doorstep to apologize.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
I was stunned.
Did you say like that it's cool? Or did you actually like scold her?
I don't remember. This was so long ago.
But anyways, Derek's not like that now, guys. So
yeah, I mean, I just keep my opinions to myself. Man.
he just tells me.
Yeah, I just tell her.
But no, okay, fine. We'll say 0 out of 25 so far. Whew. Right? You've grown.
I've grown.
You're no longer toxic. Okay. Number 3 is dishonesty. A person who displays dishonesty may lie or mislead others. The act of lying is a choice. But dishonesty is the tendency to lie, and many people use it as a coping mechanism.
Hmm. No, I don't think it's either of us.
No?
You think I lie?
No, me.
Oh, have you lied? Like, you have lied, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was the...
Oh, like we tend to lie all the time kind of thing?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I think you lied in a particular situation.
Yes.
But the lying itself wasn't the tendency that you always reverted to.
Oh, yeah, right? No. I think I do have a tendency to exaggerate the truth sometimes. When I tell stories and stuff like that, like sometimes I'm just...
Is it because you want more validation?
Yeah, or like I just like the drama. Sometimes
you're trying to make the tea hotter.
Yeah. I think a good example of it was one time we were all hanging out, and I don't know if you guys caught this. It was something so small. I don't know why I got so mad, but I was telling you guys a story, and you know, I think we were talking about like, I think you guys were saying how like, oh yeah, we never really drink by ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And then I was telling you guys that, yeah, sometimes I just go home and like, I'll pop a beer and after work and I'll just drink, you know? And then you guys were like, no, that's weird. Like, you don't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I do that all the time. And then Eden was beside me and he was like,
no, you don't.
And I goes, I don't know. You don't remember that?
Yeah, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, and then I don't know why, but I literally turned to him. I was like, how do you know? Like,
yeah, you got super defensive.
I got so defensive. I don't know what it was, but I think it was like being caught in a...
At that point, when you get defensive, it's because your ego is on the line.
Yeah.
And your ego and your pride is saying, I feel stupid right now. I don't want to feel stupid.
Yeah.
And I need to attack back.
Yeah. I realized that the moment it happened, and I was like, why did I even do that? Because it doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like nothing. It's literally nothing. But I think it was because he caught me in an exaggeration of my story. Obviously, I don't do it every day, but, you know.
Yeah, there are rare moments.
Yeah. But the fact that I said that and he caught me in it, and then I was like embarrassed kind of in front of everyone that, you know. So I think, like, it says many people who use dishonesty as a coping mechanism. What do you think that means?
I mean, I guess to give a story, I had a friend who was really close to our friend circle, who, as throughout high school and university, started to drift away from us. And we realized that this person would always tell lies. Yeah, just like a habitual liar, just lie about everything. When they had class, when their midterm was, just like really small, insignificant things that they didn't need to.
Was it like a condition that they have?
I don't know what it was, but there are definitely some people who just like are compulsive liars. And I don't know if it's a reaction to protect something, or they feel insecure about something, or they just need to do it to inflate their sense of self or something like that.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about my friend who dated a pathological liar?
Maybe. Who?
Yeah. So I won't say names, but basically my friend was dating this guy, and when we met him, he told us that he worked for Sony Music.
Oh, yes. You did tell me that story.
Yeah. So he said he worked for Sony Music. We met him, and I asked him, I was like, oh, who's the biggest celebrity you've ever worked with? And he would say, like, oh, you know, like Taylor Swift. And, you know, and at the moment, like, it was just, his lies were so natural that we didn't think anything of it. Until one day I was very curious, because I was like, oh, wow, Taylor Swift. And he even said something like, oh, yeah, I like helped her write the song. So I figured if I Googled his name, it would like show up somewhere on, you know. So I Googled his name. And at the time, Tumblr was really big. And I found a Tumblr page that someone had made that literally the title was like, so-and-so is a pathological liar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there were posts, like screenshots of like their conversations. There was like a fake contract drafted by him for Sony Music.
Wow.
He basically offered this girl a fake contract to become like an aspiring artist or something like that. And
holy
shit. Yeah, how he like fucked her over. And like, I ended up sending this Tumblr account to my friend, and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe you sent me this, because I literally just saw the same, someone just sent me the exact same thing.
Wow.
And like, anyways, his excuse was that it was a condition that he had.
Like, interesting.
Yeah, he was actually a pathological liar. But yeah, I don't know, maybe like,
I think that is more for like people who are just trying to like keep secrets from their ex and sleep with girls on the side, or that kind of dishonesty.
Not so much like a condition.
Not so much a condition, yeah.
Yeah, unless he's doing it like knowingly and he can control it, right?
Yeah,
because it says here the act of lying is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like pathological liars, like they can't help it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so 0 out of 3-ish.
0 to 3-ish.
Okay, this one.
Oh my God.
Number 4 is rigidness. So a person who is rigid may be stubborn, inflexible, or unable to adapt when things don't go as planned. For example, an employee may struggle to adapt when a new boss joins your team and changes the team dynamic.
You think I'm rigid?
I think you're stubborn.
Yeah, I think
I don't think you're inflexible.
So then where lies my stubbornness?
In fact, I think your stubbornness is
a strong suit.
Yeah. You're stubborn.
An anti-toxic trait.
some, because you choose the things that you're stubborn about.
Wait, shouldn't we be?
Sure. I think in terms of like inflexibility, like for example, you know, like when you would ask me on Wednesdays, do you care that the episode's like an hour late?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, I don't care. And you're like, I care a lot.
Wait, so that's inflexible or that's stubborn?
I guess so. That's pretty rigid, right?
No, that just shows I care.
Inability to adapt when things don't go as planned.
No, I can adapt.
Yeah. No, you're not that bad.
It's more so I am opinionated. Mm-hmm. And when I truly believe in an opinion, I fight for it.
Yes.
I argue for it. But that usually is the case because I'm sure you know and... I've demonstrated on this podcast, mm-hmm, that I like to think about things a lot.
Yes.
So when someone challenges my opinion, I'm open for the challenge, but I've also thought about this a lot.
Right.
From many angles.
Right.
So if you tell me that the sky isn't blue, I'm going to be like, you dumb motherfucker, the sky is blue. Like, why are you trying to...
You haven't thought about the sky as long as I have.
I've seen it from 10 different angles. The sky's blue. What are you trying to tell me? And I'll fight for it. But given that,
right,
I also do recognize, you know, sometimes when I, you know, have conversations with people much smarter than me, I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, right.
Yeah, that's true. And you do, like, you're pretty open-minded still. Like, mm-hmm, as much as you may have made up your mind about certain things, you still like give other people the time to like change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The worst is when stubborn people do a straw man argument. Do you know what a straw man argument is?
Strong?
Straw.
Straw like...
Straw. Yeah, like no. Straw man argument. No, so like... basically, they'll take your argument and make an exaggeration of it, but to the weakest extent. For instance... you know, pregnant women should have the ability to do whatever they want. Uh-huh. That's my argument.
Right.
Someone might say, oh, well, you think pregnant women should be able to drink alcohol? I didn't say that. You're bringing it to an extent, right? And people often do that with arguments.
I do that.
Right? Yeah. Oh, so you think this is right?
I do that.
What about this? But that's not the way you should argue. The way you should argue is the opposite, which is a steel man argument. A steel man argument is, I'm actually going to take your side, fortify your argument and make it the strongest possible. So of course pregnant women should do whatever they want. They're carrying life inside them. They're smart people. Let them choose to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And then if you can defeat the strongest version of that person's argument, that's how you know your argument was better.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. The straw man argument, you're pretty much just like putting... You're almost like putting words in the other person's mouth. Mm-hmm. You're using the argument against them.
You're trying to make their argument seem nonsensical.
Right.
And you're defeating a nonsensical thing.
Right.
But if you're a truly smart, educated person with the right opinion and the right argument, it doesn't matter. You can bring bring your smartest, best, well-oiled argument. I'm still going to dismantle it because what I'm saying is right.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to be worried about that.
Right.
And then it also helps in arguments because you understand now that I actually see it from your perspective. I've made your argument smarter.
Right.
So, you know, you believe me now. You're like, oh yeah, he actually thought about it and understands my reasoning.
Right.
Yeah.
Shit.
Straw man and steel man.
I think I straw man a lot.
Oh, toxic.
Yeah, I think I do that a lot.
Yeah, that's bad.
I do that a lot, actually.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to think of an example, but... I'm really good at doing that. Like, it's almost
a skill.
Yeah, but it's... Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, it's not good.
The other person usually gets very frustrated. Like,
yeah, because that's not my point.
Yeah, that's not my point. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you're taking something to somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're arguing about something completely different.
Yeah. Why is it called straw man and steel man? Like,
straw is like, think of like hay straw.
Like, so the weakest, like...
The weakest... right? If both our arguments are like metaphorical fighters.
Yeah.
You're turning my person into a hay person.
Right.
But you should turn into a steel person, and then you can still defeat it. That means your argument is better.
Stronger.
Right. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Wait, is that even like, what were we talking about? which, oh, that was rigidness.
Is that rigidness? Stubbornness?
Yeah. Arguing. So stubbornness. Oh, damn. I think I'm this then.
Yeah, don't do that, people.
I think I'm like that in arguments specifically.
Yeah, you should always try to understand the other person.
But it's definitely...
Because it helps you to defeat them.
I think it's because in arguments, I let my emotions take over. Mm. So emotionally, I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I have to win this.
Yeah, I have to win. Even like if I have to throw out some like crazy, you know, nonsensical theory. You know, I have to put words in his mouth and, you know, flip it around. But I think guys might be a little bit more logical and rational. So you're able to,
mm-hmm.
you know, give a better argument. I don't know. But yeah, I think that's.
And on that point, another toxic thing that people really do in arguments is they start attacking the person's character. So they'll say, what the fuck do you know? You're a janitor.
Oh,
what
I never do that. Okay,
what the fuck do you know? You had 10 breakups. What the fuck do you, right? Now you're taking it somewhere completely.
It's personal.
Now it's personal and you're lowering the argument by lowering the person, which is not a good thing either.
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes I feel like people in toxic relationships do this. Like, what the fuck do you know? You're stupid. What do you know? You know, your daddy doesn't, you know what I mean? They say all these kind of things to attack the person's character in order to win the argument.
Yeah, no. That's definitely...
If you're ever with someone that's like that...
That's a bad sign.
That's very bad.
That is a big red flag.
That's very bad, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's a bad... That's not a good one. My ex-boyfriend... I mean, this is kind of related, I guess, but he would kind of, like, belittle me when we argue. You remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we argue, he would be like, look at me when I'm talking to you.
Mm.
And damn, like, now that I think of it, I'm like, that's so disrespectful.
Right, they're playing, like, status games.
Yeah.
And,
like, no, not cool.
Mm.
Another red flag. Okay, number 5, rudeness. A person who displays rude behavior may speak or act without manners that most people would define as culturally appropriate. For example, someone may talk to a server without saying please or thank you. They always say, like...
How you treat servers is...
Yes.
Very important.
Yeah. That's a good indication on a first date. Like, if someone's polite to the server, then... usually means they're like pretty nice, but
I would even stretch that to like just how kind of relates back to the other point, how people just talk about other people.
Mm.
Right, how they just talk about servers or their friends who maybe don't make as much money as they do, or how they just talk about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think either of us are like
rude. No, I think we're very nice people.
Yeah, we're very nice. Is that also toxic?
I know.
We're also very humble. All right. Okay, this one, a lack of empathy for others. A person who lacks empathy for others may struggle to understand other people's feelings and thoughts. Yeah.
I think that goes hand in hand with, not hand in hand, but it overlaps a bit of being judgmental.
Yeah, I was going to say that
too. Yeah, because when I was younger, I definitely had lack of empathy and just... Yeah, you just don't consider what it's like in that person's shoes and, you know, the decisions they're making and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is definitely something that I think I've seen growth in you in the last, like, couple of years.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
What's weird, though, is how the situation is presented to me. Sometimes I'll watch movies of people clearly doing the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like you understand what I'm saying, right? Where, let's say, like, have you seen the show Dexter?
Yes.
So Dexter is on paper not a good guy. He kills people.
Yes, he's a serial killer.
Yeah. He kills other criminals.
Yeah.
But you feel for him.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a toxic trait or not, but how it's presented to me matters a lot. Mm-hmm. How the story is told. Right. There are some, like, back to that earlier story of that girl that I made feel really bad because she was dealing with two of her guy friends in the same group. And if that story was told differently to me,
Or maybe by her.
You mean, or by her. Hey, Derek, I'm going through this tough time right now.
Can you help me through this?
Yes. Then I would be like, oh my, I'm on your side. Let's figure this out together.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
Yeah, but I think that's more of a human condition. We're very subjective to how, like, what the story is being told and who the messenger is.
Right.
Versus just the meat of it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
No, that's good. I think if anything, me and you have quite high empathy.
Yeah, because I think when we talk to each other and tell each other stories, mm-hmm. and let's say you don't understand how I'm wanting you to understand, we'll reiterate it.
Yeah.
No, like, think of it like this.
Yeah.
And we try to get the other person in our same shoes.
Yeah. No, it's true. No, that's good. So again, negative.
We're very wholesome people. I used to be toxic.
Now I'm not. Cynicism? Like cynical? Being cynical?
Is that just being negative all the time?
May think that interests and goals motivate people to the detriment of others. So assumptions. So for example, assuming that a polite server was only friendly for a good tip.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're like that, but I've met people like that. And it's tough too.
Yeah. No, I don't. No. I'm just trying to think. No, I don't think we're like that.
No, for sure not.
No.
No, for sure not. We probably give people too much benefit of the doubt.
Right. But I think, again, if you are in a relationship with someone who is cynical, then I'm assuming that they always assume that you're doing
you have your own reasons for being a nice person.
Yeah.
And they don't even trust you more because you're nice.
Yeah. Or it's like, why are we doing this? Did you wrong me somehow?
Yeah. Why are you so nice to me? You all of a sudden.
Yeah. You're trying to spin it around. Like, I'm literally doing something nice for you, but you're trying to. Yeah. That's.
I think they do that to make the ground uneven for that person.
Mm.
So that they can capitalize in the other person's confusion.
You mean saying things like, oh, you're not nice for.
Yeah.
You're not actually being nice.
Yeah.
There's an alternative. There's an ulterior motive here, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Okay, recklessness. A person who is reckless may not consider the danger of their actions placed upon themselves or others. For example, someone with recklessness may encourage you to undertake a dangerous activity.
That's like really a specific type of recklessness.
Yeah.
Like a physical recklessness.
Yeah.
But I would say you're reckless.
I think I'm reckless with emotions, I think.
Yeah.
You're reckless with activities.
But not like, yo, let's jump off this bridge. Come on.
Let's climb this huge mountain with no protection or harnessed and, you know.
It was a safe mountain to climb.
Yeah, we were in Iceland.
It was a beautiful sight.
It was literally like, it's like this, like, mountain on the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, and these two guys were climbing it. I just stood at the bottom and I took pictures of them because I was not putting myself through, but yeah, it was worth it. Yeah, I definitely think I'm reckless.
Yeah, you are. There are stories that cannot be shared on here, but
yeah,
you are.
But I don't think I don't consider the danger. I think I do consider the danger, but it's like,
you love the danger.
My middle name is Danger. No. Yeah. Okay, fine. I'll take this one. We won't go further into this one. Okay. Pickiness. Someone who's picky may struggle in situations that are new, outside their comfort zone, or don't match their standards.
But is my pickiness a toxic trait? Has it resulted in toxicity? Toxicity? Because I am a very picky...
Toxicity?
Toxicity. Toxicity. I am a very picky person.
You are very picky, yes. But I think for good reason, like for good.
But I understand why now.
Okay, why?
Oh my God, this is gonna go back to the.
It always goes back. It's fine. It's a recurring theme of this podcast.
It really is.
We should rename this podcast back to Derek's trauma.
I know, right?
What? How, why are you picky?
So, do you remember me telling you when me and my brother were really young? I told him one time when we were kids, and I feel guilty about this to this day. I was like, yo, if you see me, my friends, just...
Yeah, don't say hi to me.
Yeah, just don't say hi to me. And that was because... I think I touched on this in episode 16. Last week or the week before when we recorded that, hasn't aired yet. But I said that because of my childhood, because of my family, how dysfunctional it was, how embarrassing and shameful it was, I always wanted to at least have an outer appearance that I could control, because the inside was crazy, right? The inside, the true appearance of things was, right, I'm walking through Walmart or Home Depot, my dad's yelling at me or beating the shit out of me or whatever it is, and it's very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted things around me to be very just good in appearance. Mm-hmm. And my brother, unfortunately,
you're embarrassed of him.
Yeah, he was a bit dorky. You know, when we were kids, we didn't have the nice clothes our parents wanted to buy. So I was like, I was just trying to control as many variables as I could of, I just don't want to be embarrassed at school today. Mm-hmm. You know, we already weren't the well-dressed. You know, we had like weird lunches. We just didn't have anything where I had self-esteem as a child. Mm-hmm. So that's why I told him that. And I think a large part of my reason of my pickiness does come from that. Like, how? I want to, things have to be up to a certain standard for me. I don't want anything in my life that's like,
that could,
you know, like where someone can look at it and use it as, you know, where they can just make fun of you for whatever reason, for whatever it is.
But even when it comes to like,
like people?
Yeah, like the person that you're with. Like, you think that that...
I don't think that that... I don't think I'm like that in terms of the person I'm with. But I do know the opposite happens. If that girl is of particularly high status, I am definitely... I don't know if this is out of... I don't know if this is... This might just be a normal human thing where I was more attracted to this girl because of her status and who she is. Mm-hmm. So the status played a big part in it. Mm. Like the reverse, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm. Yeah.
I don't think you're like that anymore, though.
No anymore.
Because it's not like... Like, for example, you hang out with a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
All walks of life.
Yeah,
all walks. Styles and...
I've always prided myself on that, but I do... realize that there are certain moments where, not as much now, but when I was younger, definitely, like, I just wanted to fit in.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But definitely as I grew up, I don't...
Do you think that changed now that you're more confident in yourself?
I just know that, I don't know if this is picky or toxic or, but the girl I'm with, I would like her, oh man, I don't know how this is going to sound when I say it, but.
You don't have to say it if you don't want to, if you think you're going to get canceled.
I don't know if I'm going to get canceled, but I do know that, like, the way she looks is very important.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
It just definitely...
Like, you mean the way she presents herself?
Look? The way she presents herself, the way she...
Like, you want everyone to think she's attractive.
Yeah, she has to be... Like, you know what I mean? Like, someone that you look at and you're like, okay, this is a really well-put-together person.
Right. She needs to turn heads.
Yes.
That's what you want.
Yes, and that's important to me. And I don't know why, but it is. Hmm. You know?
I do find...
I don't know if that's toxic or not.
I do find the only thing that I noticed about you that may translate to what you were saying before, how you like the thing about your brother, like not saying hi, to, like don't say hi to me. The only thing I can think of is like, for example, when we go out, you don't want to be like waiting in line.
That's different.
You, like, does that matter to you?
Yeah, that definitely does matter. I don't want to be waiting in line because in my mind, waiting in line is for regular people.
Yeah.
I have done so many things, so many cool things, so much. Like, I am not a regular person. I know. I don't know how that sounds. I don't know how that sounds, but in my heart of hearts, that's what I believe.
I think, okay, just as a background.
Like, it could be this. It could be this. It could be confidence. It could be. But I do think I have achieved things and I've done things. Why am I waiting in line like everyone else? I'm not like everyone else. And that has always been my whole ethos as a child when I was growing up, right? Mm-hmm. I always knew I was different. My family was different. I don't need to adhere by society's rules. That's why it gave me the freedom to pursue what I wanted to pursue. Mm-hmm. And then through pursuing those things, I validated myself further that I am not a regular person. So why do regular, you know, so that's always been my mentality about lining up. I hate lining up for clubs and bars. And
he hates it. Like, he'd rather, like, you know, suck a dick to get in. Seriously. But all right, fine. Are you picky then? I don't think you struggle in situations that are new or outside your comfort zone or don't match your standards. Maybe you struggle a little.
I think I do get frustrated though with certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if things aren't the way I like them, I do get a bit frustrated.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's toxic.
But in terms
maybe
of
talking to myself,
picky, I get frustrated. Picky, you do write off people really quickly. Like write off potential mates very quickly. It could be something very, very little. And you're like, this isn't going to work out in the long run.
But yes, but am I wrong?
We'll never know.
Because I guess what that thing doesn't, what that picking doesn't take into account is, right? What if you just know?
Maybe.
That's why I go underneath so many first dates and not so many second dates.
Argumentativeness. Oh my gosh. A person who is argumentative may get joy or pleasure from starting arguments. Not all conflict is bad, but being argumentative for the sake of arguing can be detrimental.
Mm.
It's almost like self-destructive. Like I know some girls who like, even though everything in their relationship is going really well, they'll try to pick a fight.
Right.
You know?
But is it for the sake of picking a fight or is it for the sake of something else? Because I've heard that usually girls sometimes pick fights when they aren't getting enough attention.
Yeah. I do that.
So.
Yeah, I do that. I would say I'm that.
Is that toxic?
I don't think I get pleasure out of starting an argument for sure. I get pleasure in like winning arguments for sure. But yeah, you're right. The attention thing. Because even like, again, when Eden was going on this, or Eden has been on this bachelor trip and
he wasn't paying you much attention.
I found that I was like purposely like, oh, this is so bad. It sounds so stupid. I can tell this is already toxic, but
you were trying to hurt him.
Yeah. Like I would purposely like read, like he would send me a WhatsApp message. And I would like read it and know he knows I read it, but then I wouldn't reply. Cause I was mad, you know? And it's like, I felt like it's so hard.
Like I got to make you feel shitty because I'm mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at least you're self-aware.
Yeah.
Right. Self-awareness is the first step.
Yeah. I hate the person that I've become. 11. Oh, this is definitely me. Quick to anger. Become someone who is quick to anger becomes upset due to a trigger that would offend most people and struggle to calm themselves down. You don't really get angry. I realize that.
No, I do.
Do you?
In certain situations, I definitely do get frustrated very quickly.
Frustrated. I love how you say that.
Definitely. And I like raise my voice a bit. I raise my speed of which I'm talking raises.
Sure, but you don't get angry. You never get angry at someone to the point where you're like, I'm not going to talk to you. Or
yeah, just yeah, for you for 2 years.
No, now. I mean, when was the last time you literally was like argued with someone and was like, yo, fuck you. Like, get out of my face. Like,
no, I definitely haven't. Don't let it get to that point.
You're really calm. If anything, I think it takes a lot to make you angry.
No, I definitely do get angry. I think there's just different situations that you haven't seen me in.
Really?
But definitely in relationships, I don't get angry. Mm. In relationships with the girl, I never, ever get angry. If anything, I go silent. I don't know if you do this in arguments. I just don't want to talk.
Oh,
if you're angry at me, I just don't want to talk.
Oh, that's brutal. You right. Shut down?
Yeah, I shut down. I'm not trying to talk to you while you're angry.
Oh, you're kind of like...
Or if you're accusing me of something, like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
You're smart.
I don't know if that's good or not.
No, you're smart. You're smart. It's kind of like there's a Chinese saying. It's like, oh, actually, it's English, too.
Wait, Google Translate.
Isn't it like, don't put oil on fire or something? Isn't that a English thing?
Yeah, I've heard that saying.
Yeah, I think it's Chinese, though, maybe.
All I know is, what was that?
That's smart, though. That's smart. Because when I'm angry, if the guy is arguing back, that just makes me more angry.
Yeah. No, that's definitely bad. You're putting oil on fire.
Exactly.
I
don't know if that's an English thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm ESL, sorry.
Hold on, wait. What's...
What are you pulling up? Sorry, guys. He's trying to show me something.
I'm trying to find these Justin Bieber lyrics. Oh, yes. Justin Bieber Changed Me, by the way. It's a great song. I don't know if you've heard it. But he has a line, because Justin is so wise. He says, don't fight fire with fire. If I'm screaming, talk quieter. I know. I was like, Justin.
So wise.
Justin.
So wise for his age. Justin, you get me.
It's written by your friend who works at Sony.
It's like, sometimes the silence speaks louder.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Are you passive aggressive, though?
I don't think so.
So how do you show that you're angry at someone? You just ignore them?
Oh, yeah. I just ignore it. I just don't talk to them. So that's my toxic trait. If
you remove yourself.
I remove myself completely. Right? If I don't like you anymore, I'm outie.
I'm outie.
Yeah.
Were you like that with your parents?
I think that's what happened.
Yeah. You shut down?
I think I realized I couldn't. There was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to remove myself completely. You're just not going to. Right? This is better for both of us. You know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. But that's not the way to go.
Yeah, that's probably another toxic trait.
Yeah, that definitely
shutting
is my
down.
Toxic trait. Yeah.
Or maybe that's not toxic. That's just like a...
unhealthy behavior.
Yeah, even worse. Okay, bossiness. Take charge of a situation, demand control, assert dominance over others. I don't think so.
I don't think either of us have that.
Yeah. Not like in a negative way.
I don't think we've been with people like that either, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, not bossy, no. Self-centeredness. Person who displays self-centeredness may focus on their wants over other people's needs. I don't think we're like that either.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. Okay, skip. Arrogance. Someone who's arrogant may believe they are more intelligent and more important than others. As such, they may treat others rudely or condescendingly. So that goes back to, I think...
Rudeness.
And the person that kind of, like, plays people down.
Mm.
Or, like, yeah. A lot of dentists are like that, actually. I'm not kidding. Like, a lot of dentists have this, like, God complex. I think it's because of... usually, they're, like... book smart, so right. They think that they're smarter than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
but I've met some pretty dumb dentists. Or, and then they also make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So they think like, oh, I make more money than you. I'm intelligent than you. So a lot of dentists are actually very arrogant people. Yeah.
Do you find that those arrogant dentists are usually not the best dentists? Or is it a Doctor Strange situation where that person is actually the best doctor?
Yeah, I think they're just like, they're good in terms of their dental skills. Sorry, but they might not be very well liked in terms of like, they might not have the best bedside manner. Mm. They're not as like empathetic to their patients. Mm. I would usually say they're the ones that maybe they're the specialists that people have to go to and don't really have a choice to piece, you know, like to not go to. But yeah, even like celebrities, right?
Yeah, some celebrities definitely get very arrogant.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah.
Once you gain a little fame, yeah. You know, that's not a good one either. Okay. Greediness?
No.
No.
I don't think we have that.
Stinginess. A person who is sneaky. Oh, sorry. What? Oh, stingy may refuse to share their time, possessions, or money. They do this even when someone else deserves them.
Mm.
So, for example, a stingy family member may refuse to pay their part of a restaurant bill.
No. I don't think we know a lot of stingy people in our... I mean, maybe like one or two, but...
Yeah. Okay, so the reason why Derek and I kind of smiled at this one was because at some point in our relationship, Eden was like, you know, you're actually like really stingy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he meant by that was like, I will admit, I am stingy to certain people. I'm stingy to people who...
are stingy to you.
Who I just don't think deserve it. Like Eden's very giving.
Mm-hmm.
He will, you know, his mentality is like, if I can, I will always do.
Uh-huh.
So no matter what, like, you know how he is. If you ask him for a favor, if you ask him for his time, if you ask him for his money, if he can afford it, if he has the time, he will always give it to you, no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm very specific with who I want to give my time to, who I want to give my money to. Like, for example, you, Richie, Duncan, like, you know, these, you know, my best girlfriends, like these people I know, like there is no stinginess between us because it's like...
There's no ledger.
Like, I'll pay for this and you'll pay for that. Like, I know there's a back and forth. I know there's give, there's take. There's some people in our lives that are just like, I call them moochers. And I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people, I don't care. Like, I guess it's kind of mean, but it's like my mentality, whether they need it or not, like, it's like, in my head, it's like, it's not my problem.
Right.
But it's not the nicest thing to do. So I don't know. That's just kind of how I see it. I'm gonna get so much hate for this. So yeah, I guess I am a little bit stingy. Okay, sneakiness.
That, I feel like that has to do with dishonesty.
Yeah. Thoughtlessness. May not consider how their actions or words may impact others.
I feel like I've been guilty of that sometimes in my previous relationships.
Yeah?
I think it was just more so due to a lack of having experience in relationships. So I didn't necessarily understand that this is what a good boyfriend's supposed to do. These are the things that you're supposed to consider, right? So I think it stemmed more from that versus like purposely.
Purposely being toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like more like inexperience.
Inexperience, yeah. And just maybe not as aware as I should have been.
Right. Okay, disruptive. Someone who speaks over or interrupt others for personal gain. I don't think we're like that at all.
No.
No, we're not like that. Okay, we're almost there, guys. Okay. Conflict avoidance. It is a toxic trait. Person who struggles with conflict avoidance may have a hard time talking to others because they're afraid of upsetting people.
I think I have that sometimes in business.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, sometimes I do find it hard to in business bring it up. You know, and I'll just find, you know, fine, I'll just suck it up, whatever. I'll just take the hit. Right. Sometimes I use the bigger man or the high horse as the, and it's an excuse to escape the conflict. But with friends, I'm less conflict adverse. So it's more, it really depends.
What happens when you're in business with friends, which you are now, like which dominates the other then?
I think it depends on the situation. Yeah. I think it really depends, but it definitely does. I definitely do in my mind try to make it obvious to people so they can put two and two together. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily have to sit everyone down and, you know, this is what we got to talk about.
Right. Yeah. Impulsiveness, making rash decisions based on emotion.
Oh, that's my whole life.
I don't think you're like that. You don't make rash decisions.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Based on emotion.
Yeah, I definitely do.
It's worked out decent for the most part for you.
No, yeah, no. From the outside, it looks like that, but from no. Definitely a lot of bashing around.
Yeah. I think this example is pretty good. It says an impulsive person may spend too much money because they lack emotional regulation skills.
What does the emotional regulation skills mean?
I'm assuming it's almost like shopping is therapy.
Oh, like they feel really bad, so I need to fill the void with.
Yeah. So it's like I've got to make these crazy purchases or plan this crazy trip because I can't. Because
they're not stable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. That would be a bad thing to have.
That's toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laziness. Struggle to finish tasks because they lack inspiration, motivation, and drive. That's definitely not you.
No, I'm definitely very lazy. I am.
You're lazy when it comes to certain things, but not when it comes to like things that inspire, motivate, and give you drive.
Yeah, but if I don't have that, then I'm very lazy. So when it came to like schoolwork, I was very lazy. If it comes to any like tedious task, I just hate doing that stuff. And I just like always put it off. I definitely do need more self-discipline in my life, I would say.
AKA why I'm the one that posts the TikTok clips. I'm the one who write the...
I'm doing the harder work.
But I'm doing the tedious work, like writing the captions, you know, commenting back to you guys. He hates that shit. apathetic. What does that mean? Struggle to care about things, goals, or people. No, we're not like that. Okay, we're almost done. Lack of self-awareness. We're definitely not that.
I mean, everyone has... No one's perfect.
No one's perfect, but I definitely think because of this podcast...
We've grown in self-awareness? Oh, yeah,
for sure. 100%.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, for example, as things are happening in my life nowadays...
You reflect on it more?
Yeah, and I picture myself, like, if I were to explain the emotions that I'm having on a podcast, would...
Would I make sense?
Yeah, would I make sense? Would people, like, what would those comments seem like or look like? And then I'm like, damn, why was I mad about that? Or why did I act the way I did? Like, yeah, it helps me that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. People who struggle to reflect on their thoughts, actions, and words. I think we've been pretty good with that.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty good.
Yeah. You've been actually really good with that. Especially relating things kind of
through time.
Therapeuting yourself.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Is that a word?
Therapeutizing.
Therapying.
Therapying myself.
Last but not least, absolutism. A person with absolutism. Am I saying it right? Absolutism?
Mm-hmm.
May view situations, people, or the world through a binary like bad or good. For example, someone, an absolutist may see another friend as bad because they upset them despite the friend apologizing.
Right.
I don't think we're like that.
I don't think we're like that, but I do. As much as I think the world is a gray area, I think there are certain things that are black and white as well.
Yeah.
So it's tough. But I don't think we let it get to the the toxic part of ourselves.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was good.
We did the toxic test.
I think we're pretty good, but you know what? This
I feel like this list was pretty easy too.
Yeah, it was.
It should have went into more like relationship toxic things.
Yeah. I mean, this one says here though, signs that you're in a toxic situation with someone.
Mm.
So like they always say gaslighting. What exactly is gaslighting?
From what I understand, gaslighting is making the other person so I would make you feel like what you're feeling
is not valid.
Is not valid, or you're misinterpreting it wrong, even though I know what I'm doing is wrong.
Oh.
I believe that's gaslighting.
Like you're minimizing the other person's feelings. Kind of thing. So let's say you wronged me,
mm-hmm.
and I got mad at you.
Gaslighting. I would make you feel bad for you getting mad.
Oh.
I would twist it in a way where it's like, why are you getting mad? You're being so unreasonable.
Yeah.
Like,
are you being so dramatic?
Yeah, you're being. Yeah, let's say dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
You're being very dramatic right now.
Yeah.
You're being very selfish. You're only thinking of you in the situation.
Oh man, that sounds like such a bad thing. But sometimes like some girls need to be told that. Some girls and guys.
Right.
Some people need to be told that. I don't know. Is that like a bad thing now?
I just hate hearing that word now.
Gaslighting, right?
Yeah, that word is so...
It's so thrown around.
Yeah.
It's so thrown around. But here it says someone with toxic traits may cover up their behavior...
By gaslighting
you. So it's a type of manipulation.
Yeah.
Where the gaslighter tries to make you question your version of events.
Yeah. Would you agree that usually girls are the more manipulative type?
No.
Really?
No. Guys are.
What?
How?
Girls use mental warfare against each other. Think back to grade school, high school. If you didn't like a girl, if a girl didn't like you.
Oh, yeah.
The things that you guys would do to each other are so manipulative.
Sure, yes.
You would get the other girls to not like that girl. You would start whispering little rumors.
Yeah. We don't like her anymore. Let's not hang out with... Yeah,
she said this about your clothes yesterday. She didn't even tell you that. She told me.
Yeah.
Girls are so conniving.
Yeah. Or girls used to, we would three-way. And not tell the other, like we three-way on a phone.
Oh,
and not tell like.
To set that other person up?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like, what'd you say the other day about like so-and-so? Or how do you feel about her? And like the other person's on the phone, but they can't tell.
Oh my.
I know, it's so bad.
Wait, did you ever do that?
I did.
Oh my. You were definitely the initiator.
I was a bully. I was a bully. I was really bad. I was the one who would say things like, we don't like her anymore. Let's not hang out with her.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was a bully.
But I do think that's a biological thing though. I think men solve our differences through physicality.
Yeah.
And girls solve it through emotions and mental and like that.
But when I thought you meant like in a relationship, the girl is usually more manipulative.
You think a guy is more manipulative in the relationship? I think guys are too stupid.
I think when it comes to a talk,
I think we're so oblivious sometimes. Guys are just like, we're such simple creatures. We don't understand. You guys definitely see more of the picture than us.
Mm.
You know, like, did you not notice that when you did this, it made me this happen? You know what I mean? Like, no, I just, sorry.
It means you don't care about me like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, we are.
Yes.
Okay. Another sign that you're in a toxic relationship is that the other person doesn't apologize properly.
What does apologize properly mean?
So like saying things like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. Or I'm sorry I made you.
I'm sorry you took it that way.
Yeah. I'm sorry what I did made you feel that way. But.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not genuine.
Yeah. It's more of a defense. It's. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. That's not good. I hate it when people say that to me.
Yeah. Because it gets you more angry.
Yeah. I hate that.
And then they play it off. You know what I mean? It's just,
I don't accept those apologies. Another sign, they don't understand how their behavior makes others feel. So they lack emotional intelligence. They just don't realize that their actions negatively impact others. So just unaware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's toxic. You're just unaware. You're just stupid.
It's like signs you're in a toxic relationship. So it's like maybe the person you're with isn't even aware that their actions.
Yeah, they're being toxic.
Are affecting you.
Yeah, that's just tough. You got to get out of there too.
Yeah. Or they think they're superior to others. Or they see themselves as a victim of their own behavior.
They see themselves as the victim of their own.
Like saying things like,
it's all my fault.
No, actually different. I can't change. This is how I am.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're talking to a child.
Yeah.
You know, when someone says, this is just the way I am.
Yeah. Damn.
They haven't emotionally matured at all.
If someone only views themselves as a victim of their own life, they likely haven't accepted responsibility for their behavior.
Damn. I think the more we grow up, the more I realize we are the sum of all our decisions, and it really is all in us. Right? When you're younger, you can kind of like
blame it on
this or that or my family or whatever. But then when you grow up, you really do realize we have so much in our control. Like if your life is going good or if your life is going bad, it like a large part of it is due to our own decision making and our own behaviors, our own patterns, our own triggers, our own unawareness, our own everything.
Yeah. No, it is true.
But I think the tough thing is sometimes people recognize that and it feels so heavy on them and they don't know how to.
Are you speaking out of experience?
No, I would say.
Are you at that stage where it's like you notice certain traits, but you.
I'm at the stage where I'm ready to begin a long journey of rebuilding certain behaviors and mechanics in me that will now lead me to a more fruitful life.
Right. But do you know what you need to do?
I think we all know what we need to do.
Okay. Therapy?
No, but we should get one on here.
We should. No, we should.
We should. We should. We should. We should.
We should. You know what's really funny? I literally was sitting like this.
And now you're like.
And now I'm like this. So it just means that our conversations are that engaging that I need to slowly turn my body. At first, I'm talking to the audience. And now I'm like literally talking to you.
And then in all of our conversations, I've never.
You don't move because you only have one good angle. All right, guys. It's been an hour and 15 minutes. Okay. I just want to wrap this up by saying whether you are in a toxic relationship.
Oh, yeah. You said there was a comment on TikTok.
Oh, no. Someone just wanted us to talk about how you can get out or how to get out of a toxic relationship.
So what? How would you answer that?
I don't know. Never been in one.
Because you were the ask toxicity. My exes. Oh my God, how did they get out? No, I think it's in order to get out of any bad situation, I think you first have to realize your own self-worth and self-respect.
Yeah.
And then just really be honest with yourself. Is this what I need and what I want in my life? And is this bringing my life value or taking away value? And then the answer is pretty clear.
Yeah. It's hard to do it alone, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say it's good to have a friend or some type of support system that, you know, will.
Give you some like, moral support?
Yeah. It's almost like, I think any toxic relationship almost feels like an addiction. Where it's like, you might break it off, but, you know, a couple days later, you're like, oh, I regret it. No, I need them. You know, I want to get back with them. And you just need strong people in your life who are giving you sound advice and kind of like, you know, you can do this, encouraging you, mm-hmm. you know, pulling you back kind mm-hmm. of thing. Cause it's easy to get out and get back into a toxic relationship, you know?
Yeah. Especially when your identity is built around that person or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely I've been guilty of that. Yeah.
Yeah. You're weak.
Literally, this guy, like, I think there's been moments where you're just like, I give you advice. You don't listen to my advice.
I said that?
Yeah. You're just like, I give up on you.
Probably.
Yeah. But I mean, this article ends off by saying just like, you know, there's a couple things. If you're in a toxic relationship, you can't assume that someone who is toxic or has toxic traits will always be toxic. Mm. But you also can't assume that, like,
you can be the one to change them.
1,000%. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Just because you see potential. And I think girls are really good at seeing potential. I sent you this TikTok about this.
Yeah.
I think girls are really good at seeing potential of the guys.
Oh.
And that's what they kind of hope for.
Yeah.
But potential is just potential. It ain't, you know, it's not real until it's real.
And girls will always think like, oh, I can change him, you know, but no, that's not cool.
Yeah. It ain't real until it's real.
It ain't real. All right. Well, that's it for this week. That was a good episode, I think.
Yeah.
I had fun.
I learned that. We're not toxic.
Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Bye.